Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, and we're going to be reading through verses 1 through 13. The title of this morning's message, Are We Really Lights in This World? Now, our primary text, again, this morning is 5:13 through 16, but to see more fully the picture of this discourse, we'll begin at verse 1. And it reads this way, When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the Gentiles, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for your word, not just this portion, but the fullness of your word. But we thank you, Lord, for this discourse that Christ was having with his disciples, and pray, Lord, that you would speak to our own hearts through this and some other passages this morning. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Before I go any further, let me tell you what I want the children to draw for me. As they are listening to me at the same time, as they are being quiet listening to me at the same time, I would like them to draw me two pictures in their picture box. One of somebody lighting their candle and then putting it underneath a basket, which is not the wisest thing in the world to do. And then somebody else lighting their candle and walking up a hillside so that they can get to the highest point where everybody can see their light. So draw either or both of those. We are quickly coming to the first of the two seasons of the year when many people who never give much thought to God or religion or things about God will find themselves in churches around the world. And for the most part, they will find themselves there simply because Christians like you and Christians like me, some weak in their walks and some stronger, have invited them to come to church with them. Now, it's interesting how many Christians there are out there who will invite someone to a resurrection service or a Christmas service, but who give little or any attention at all to inviting the same people to church through the rest of the year. And it's like their light flickers for a minute, like a lighter that is running out of fuel and it gives a little light and then it is gone. Now, I want you to understand first, this is not an expositional sermon per se, but one that is more topical in nature, but it is also clearly seen in this text as well as many others. And there were the texts that give the reference to this were actually too numerous to mention. The one question that I want you, though, to ask yourselves throughout the course of this message today is the title of this sermon. Are we really lights in this world? But even more particularly, I want you to ask, am I really a light in my world? Now, obviously, this applies to everyone who makes a profession of faith in Christ. And even you children who understand some of what I'm talking to should ask yourselves, if your parents, if your teachers, and if your friends see Christ in you, lived out in your life. Now, I said even the children. So, if it's even the children, that includes all of you adults. Do your parents, and that's funny when you ask adults that, do your parents see Christ lived out in your life? Because sometimes when we're around our parents, especially if they're unsaved parents, we kind of hide our light a little bit because we don't want to blind them or something. I'm not quite sure how that works, but the light gets a little more put away at that point. This past week, Jason and I took a trip to Kansas to pick up a car, a neat-looking little police cruiser. Gave you a semblance or a feeling of power riding up the road. Nobody would pass you because you looked like a police officer. And that truck. And on the drive back, while I was actually driving the truck, I was thinking about what we were doing and what that truck's purpose was. I was actually going to have Jason come today and bring the truck and drive it up the street two different ways, but I opted not to do that for a couple of reasons. But I was thinking, what is the purpose of this truck that we're driving? We've come so far to drive back. And although I've been a truck driver for years, I'm not as keen on driving as I used to be. And so it was a joyful trip, but a job all the same. But then I started thinking more about what the truck was for. And had the truck had some sort of life of its own, what it would be doing. Because I thought when we picked it up, I have to explain the truck to you a little bit. It has those very graphic pictures of abortion, of aborted babies on it, on each side in the back. And they're big. And this is not a small truck. It's 24 foot long and 13.6 high. The max that you can make this truck without getting a special license. So as you're riding down the road, people are seeing this. And I thought, but it also had covers. They'd come down, and real neat. You push a button, and they come down, and they cover up the horrible pictures. And now it looks just like a normal truck. And so you can hide what's really there. And I thought about that and was thinking about that in light of our lives and how even when we left, we pulled out, we were getting ready to pull out, and the man says, what do you want to put the sides up for a while, should we really put the sides up for a while and ride down the road? And hadn't really given it much thought. But what's the purpose of the truck? The purpose of that truck is to allow people to see how horrible abortion is. People who never have looked at it, who don't want to look at it, and still to put it in front of their face. Now, our option was to either put the sides up and do that and maybe offend some people and maybe encourage some others, because I saw different types of reactions from different truck drivers going by, even encouraged Jason to get a CB radio in there so that when they do ride by and they want to say something, man, did you see that? Isn't that horrible? He could actually say, well, yes, it is. It is horrible. It's a horrible thing. wanted you to see how horrible it really was. But the purpose of the truck is to do that, to bring to light what many people don't know, to, in some cases, to offend, to anger. The Word of God does the same thing, better. It brings to light what people don't know. Sometimes it offends. Oftentimes people are angry about the Word of God. They're angry when they hear the things that we have to say, that we are calling them sinners, that we are saying they're going to hell, that we are telling them they are lost without the work of the Holy Spirit in their life. They get really angry when we start telling them that God has elected to save some, but not everybody. Well, that's absolutely unfair. So sometimes we cover that up. But I thought about that again and again through the week as we were riding back, as I looked at people and I realized that everywhere we went, especially when we hit a small town, that there were people looking. There were people looking, going, some of them that kind of look, some of them like, it was like a, thank you, God, that somebody's being honest about this. So it was bringing about a double reaction. Truth is the signs are good for keeping it from being vandalized. If you ride around with the signs down all the time, the truck does absolutely nothing. Now, I'll get to where I'm going with this. We are kind of like the truck. Sometimes we want to put our covers down. We want to cover up our light. We don't want everybody to see what's really there, because if they do, they'll be angered. They'll be offended, some of them. If we're honest with our lives, we are, as children of God, called to shine forth in a world of darkness, and not in any manner at all to hide our light. We are not called to do that. There's not an inference, an insinuation, or a passage that commands us to do that, but quite the opposite, that we should let our light shine in this world, and we should make every effort to make it as visible as possible, kind of like a lighthouse. Remember the old lighthouses, if you've ever studied them? They were pretty weak. They didn't have much power. But somebody thought, hey, you know what? Let's take a whole bunch of mirrors and put them together, and we'll make this thing a whole bunch more radiant than it had been before. And so they didn't change the light in the beginning. They had the same amount of candle power. They just did some inventive things with it to make it so it appeared lighter, when actually it was lighter. It brought more light. And we are called to do that, to, in every way we can, make our light shine in a dark world, as it calls it. We are here, what is that catechism one, that first one? We are here for two reasons, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And there are far too many Christians out there living in this world today who seem to be doing neither of these very well. They're not glorifying God because they hide the fact that they're Christians. Now we say, well, I'm not really hiding, I'm just not displaying it. Well, if you're not displaying it, you're hiding it. If you're not putting it up on top of the table, you're putting it under the basket. We are called to be light in a dark world. This is what we are supposed to be. The Greek word is phaneno, and it is to bring light. To bring to light. Not just to bring light, but to bring to light. So we are supposed to make people understand. That's what light does. If you're in a darkened place, what does light do? It directs the course of your path to direct people to the one who is the truth, the light, the way, and the truth is called. Jesus referred to so many times as light because originally he is the light. We're just little lights. Or we should be just little lights. In that verse 13, I just want to go there for a minute again. He said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, now not much of us know how to deal with that, but if you've ever eaten anything that looks like salt, it doesn't taste like salt, it's not really worth much. It's a seasoning factor. How can it be made salty again? Well, how we live sometimes, we demonstrate this very fact. It can no longer be good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. But then he says to them, and again, who he's speaking to is the context. He's speaking to his people. He says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You ever seen a city on a hill? You ever ridden into a place where there's a city up on a hill? And you look and you go, look, a city on a hill. There's no way to hide that city on the hill. Nor does anyone light a light and put it under a basket. Now again, that picture there, two reasons. One, it's just it wasn't safe, but it defeats the purpose. Oil was costly, and to light something and then to put it under a basket. People weren't into night lights at that time. So if you lit a light, you lit it so you would have light. But they put it instead on a lampstand, and it gives light to who? To all who are in the house. To all who are in the house. I know it's amazing to me when I go camping and just a little light. Doesn't need to be a big light, bright light kind of light we have here. Just a little light goes a long way. And you can see it. For just about, I have a little green thing that I put on my tent. And I can see it for probably a half a mile away. And it's hardly visible even like this, but at night, it just lights up the area in the sense of direction. But on a lampstand, it gives light to all who are in the house. He therefore commands them. This is a command. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now that's an interesting phrase, that last part. That they may see your good works and that they may glorify your Father who is in heaven. In other words, if they really see Christian lives lived out. And this is a big part of what we're talking here today. We must understand again that the text is speaking to the people. To the Jewish people, God's people, and therefore it is assigned most directly to the church as a whole today, but should also be seen as being applied in the lives of each individual person, as we call ourselves sons and daughters of the living God. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 through 11 reads this way. And it's a little different, but it makes it very clear, this picture. For God, who said, light shall shine out of the darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthly vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. This is important we understand. I will read on past that, but that we understand this, that it's not our light we're shining. It's not my light. It is the light of God. It is the truth of the Holy Spirit of what God is doing, what God has done. This is part of our light. Let your light shine. Don't be afraid of that. He goes on to say after that, so that the power of God will be the power of God, not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaking, struck down, but not destroyed, always caring about the body, the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Now, through all that he's saying, that it is in the trials, the testings of this world, that the working out of what God is doing is being done, and that Christ is manifested through us. He is the light. He is the light that should be shining in our lives. It's clear in verse 7, again, that it has to be Him that is being lifted up. And I'm not talking only here about outreach and evangelism. I know you hear that and you think, well, John, all you ever talk about is evangelism and reaching. I'm not talking just about that here. I'm not discluding that here. But what people see in their dealings with us, this is part of shining our light in the world. In their dealings with us, in our character, in who we are, and in our desire to speak freely and clearly of the things of God. How often have we found ourselves among people that we call friends? And let me tell you, the basket goes over the light real quick. We become different people. And then when we're back around one another again, we talk about the things of God again. And we should be talking about the things of God. We should be little lights lighting up in our own room, but not only in here. God has put us, He has put many of you in jobs and positions where you are the only light there. There is no other. Ephesians 5:6-16 says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them." Then he says, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, in righteousness, and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to God." I like that last statement there. He's saying a lot of things, man, trying to learn what is pleasing to God. He goes on to say, "Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, 'Awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil." And I remind you again that your days, I don't care how old or young you are limited on this earth. You only have a certain amount of time to let your light shine. After that, it's on to be with the Lord if you are in Christ. And we need to look at our lives and say, am I a light in this world? Am I a light in my world? When Moses came down off the mountain after spending time with God, the glory of God was so manifest upon him that his face radiated with that glory, and the people were unable to look at him until he covered it with a veil. Now, I do not expect, I wouldn't mind it, but I don't expect God to manifest himself in the same way in your lives. But as you spend time with him in prayer, as you spend time with him in the Word, I do expect that there will be changes in your life, and hopefully to such a degree that the very light of Christ will shine forth from your lives. So that people will, it's kind of like if you were walking around with a flashlight shining at people, they say, is that a flashlight you're shining in my eye? Because they will. They'll say something to you if you're shining a flashlight at them. We want people to be able to say, there's your life. Everything about you is different. We're not the same as the rest of the world. Or we're not supposed to be. Do you look like, in other words, do we look like darkness? The Bible's clear. There's darkness and there's light. They're not even close to one another. He says, do not associate with these things, with the deeds of darkness, nor associate yourselves with the darkness in that sense. So if we're light, then shouldn't we look like light? Shouldn't we look different than the darkness? Shouldn't your lives look different than the lives of the people who live next to you who don't know Christ? Shouldn't they be brighter? Shouldn't they be glowing, really? I want people to know that you're Christians, not only by your words, but as importantly, through your actions. How you deal with adversity as well as blessing. How many of you have trouble dealing with blessings? Nobody. Well, no, I'm getting too much. Too many blessings, God. Stop. Yeah, we pray that prayer a lot. But what about adversity? How do we deal with adversity? And how do our neighbors, how do our friends, how does our family see that? Again, sometimes our family is the last one we're lights to. They complain to us, and what do? We complain right back to them. We are sometimes darkness feeding darkness. We are covering up our basket. Excuse me one minute while I put my basket on my head. And sometimes we should just do that. Just to remind yourself that you're not supposed to be doing that. You're supposed to be the light. How about in how you treat those who treat you well? Well, we all like people who treat us well. But what about the ones that mistreat you? What's our first reaction? Sometimes. Well, God could get them. That wouldn't be a bad thing. But that shouldn't be our reaction. Our reaction should be that we should pray that God would bless them, that God would save them, that God would at least allow them to see that how we've responded to this. There are many ways that you can let your light shine in this world. And I want to encourage you today with this, to consider this. You have the whole day to consider it. You have a whole week to consider it. I mean, and this is a wonderful time of the year. Again, as I said at the beginning of this message, there are people out there who never go to church. They're not concerned about the things of God, but for 2 weeks out of the year, they begin to actually think about them sometimes. Now is a wonderful time to take the bath, lift the basket off. Let your light shine. And I want to encourage you, again, this morning, this afternoon, this evening, to ask yourselves, are we really lights in this world? Now I'm asking you to ask yourself that as a church. Are we really lights in this world? And to ask yourself, as an individual, am I really a light in my world? Let's pray. Father God, we again thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the reality that we don't always live up to what we are called to. And pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us to that task, that we would strive, that we would give all diligence to serving you the way you have called us to. Lord, that we would examine our lives and say, am I any kind of a light? Or is there little or no difference to be seen in me. Father, we thank you that through the work you have done in our lives, through that which you have revealed to us, and the very fact that we know that you are light, so if we are in you, we are indeed light. Lord, that you would help us to live our lives in such a manner that we would try not to be offensive in ourselves, but Lord, that we would never worry whether your word itself was offensive to someone. Lord, although we would try not to anger people, that we wouldn't be overly concerned if they become angry because of what you've done or what you've said, but Lord, that is a problem between them and you. But Lord, let us be a loving, hospitable, caring people who desire to see those who are lost come to a saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Turn over in your Psalter to Psalm 15, if you will.